So we're going to continue on in our series on the fruit of the Spirit. Today we want to look at faithfulness. As we read in Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We must put that log of faithfulness on the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's a dry log. It's a good log. It's one that'll burn bright. The Greek word for faithfulness here is used close to 250 times in the New Testament. So it's not an obscure word. It's something that's used quite a bit. The Greek word is usually translated most of the times in the New Testament either faith or faithfulness. Faithfulness is the concept of unfailingly remaining loyal to someone or something, and putting that loyalty into consistent practice regardless of the extenuating circumstances. And we see that faithfulness in David's life when King Saul was chasing him around the land and trying to kill him. David is loyal to Saul as king and ultimately faithful to God, who had placed Saul on the throne. I mean, David had numerous opportunities to kill Saul, and yet he would not touch the Lord's anointed. He was faithful to God because he knew God had placed King Saul on that throne, and to God, he was faithful to God and his plans. David knew the principle which the writer of Hebrews 11 verse 6 declares, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." The Greek word here for faith is the same word in Galatians 5:22, which is translated faithfulness. So we could read this, without faithfulness, it is impossible to please God. If we're not faithful, if we don't have faithfulness towards God, it's impossible to please him. Part of our faithfulness is believing without a shadow of a doubt that God exists and that he is who he says he is. Hebrews 11 is called the hall of faith. And I would encourage you, if you haven't read Hebrews 11 for a while, I would encourage you today to go home this afternoon, just down and read the 40 verses there. It's a hall of faith. It's a list of people who lived out their faith. The same Greek word is used 24 times in Hebrews 11. All the people listed walked in faithfulness to God. They lived loyal to their Lord, consistent, faithful to their faith, regardless of the circumstances. Hebrews 11:1 gives us this definition of faith as we read, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Would we not say that is what it's like being faithful to God? It is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's what faithfulness and faith is all about. So let's take a look at some of the people of Hebrews 11. Let's look at their faithfulness. to the Lord. And we're not going to look at them all, and we're just going to quickly go through just for a moment here. Noah built an ark by faith when he was warned of the coming flood. If we go back to Genesis 6, we read that Noah built the ark exactly as God had instructed him. Noah showed his faithfulness to God as he just carried out everything that God had instructed him to do. Abraham, by faith, left his home for a land he did not know. His faithfulness is revealed in him setting out on a journey unknown which God had set before him. Because of the faithfulness of Moses' parents, they did not fear the king of Egypt. They weren't afraid of Pharaoh, because Pharaoh had said that if you have a male child, if you give birth to a male child, you're supposed to throw him, kill him, get rid of him. But Moses' parents knew that Moses was a special little guy. And they didn't fear Pharaoh's edict. They hid Moses for 3 months. Their faithfulness to the Lord. And Moses, when he grew up, we see his faithfulness to the Lord is revealed in how he followed the Lord instead of staying and living in the luxuries of Pharaoh's palace. I mean, he had everything. But his faithfulness to the Lord, he rejects all the luxuries of Egypt and walks with the Lord and the Lord's people. Hebrews 11 goes on and describes the faithfulness of the Israelites as they left Egypt and their faithfulness as they marched around Jericho and saw the walls fall down. And we could say as the writers, or I could say as the writers of Hebrews states in verse 32, and what more should I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. We would be here all day if I told you about their faithfulness. All these and many others throughout history have shown their faithfulness to the Lord through the lives they've lived. Faithfulness is based on a relationship with our God. To have faithfulness in God is to believe without doubt that He exists, to trust God, to take Him at His word, then to put our confidence in Him. And God is worthy of our trust. God says He'll provide, and He provides. When He says He'll forgive, He forgives. When He says He'll be there, He's there. In other words, God is faithful. He delivers on all of His promises, on 100% of His promises. They are all yes and amen. In saying this, I know there are times when we really wonder if God is faithful. Maybe you haven't been there, but I know there's times when I go, I think God has thrown me a curveball. I'm not too sure if that's what He wants. Or He's silent, or He seems to be distant at times, and I think God has forgotten. I'm not sure if you've been there. Actually, I am sure you've all been there. And I understand that. But in spite of those hardships, the tragedies, the disappointments in life, God is always faithful. As we read in 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And I'm not sure if we really grasp the faithfulness of God, of our Heavenly Father. When we are faithless, when we're like Peter and deny him three times, when we're like Peter and we're walking on the water and we lose our faithfulness and start to sink, God doesn't go, "Too bad. I've been faithful long enough with you, Scott." But when Peter went, "God save me," Jesus reached down right then and pulled him out of the water. And when Peter denied Jesus three times, when Jesus was resurrected, he said, "Go tell Peter that I'm alive and the other disciples, but make sure Peter knows, because God is faithful all the time, every time." That is his character. And to not be faithful would go against who he is. That's why he says he cannot disown himself. I mean, that's who he is. He is faithful. We are his children, and he is worthy of our faithfulness. Faithfulness has to do with our character. It is about being committed, demonstrating integrity, and showing strong, steady, and consistent character. So what are some things that we find in a person who has faithfulness as part of their character burning bright in their lives? Well, a person with faithfulness to God knows that no matter what happens, they stay strong and immovable in their belief in him who made him, them, who saved them, who called them his very own. It is knowing that the Bible, the entire Bible, is truth, and what it says is a solid foundation which we can put our trust in. Faithfulness is believing who God is and what he has said, no matter what trials, discouragements, or challenges we might face. There is one God and only one who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who created us in his image for his glory. Jesus has rescued us from the pit of hell that we might be with him for eternity. Our Father is there for us 24/7, and he's coming back to take us to be with him forever. Faithfulness is believing all that without a shadow of a doubt. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Faithfulness is knowing all of this. It's standing firm and letting nothing move us. It's not wavering, not even when Satan comes to plant the seeds of doubt in our minds. It is trusting God is who he is. He is the great I am. And Jesus states in John that we are not of this world. This is not our home. And Paul exhorts in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We're just passing through here. This is not our final stop. Home is with our Heavenly Father. So our thoughts and our patterns, our thought patterns and our practices need to focus there. We are citizens of heaven. And as we're faithful, as we're full of faithfulness towards God, our thoughts, our minds, that needs to be the primary focus. Sure, when you're at work, when you're like Pam, you got to think about cutting the hair where it winds up like mine. That was a joke. Sorry. Pam didn't do that accidentally. But, you know, faithfulness to God is always being focused on Him. We are citizens of heaven, and God reigns as King. Our faithful must be to God and not on the things of this world. They must become less the things of this world, and the things of God must become prevalent in our life. You know, sometimes it hurts to do what's right. Yet faithfulness to God is always doing what is right. Deuteronomy 6, verses 18 to 19 declares, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised you on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. We are called to show our faithfulness to God by doing what is right and good. Oh, I know it said you only have to do it when you're in the sight of the Lord. Can you tell me when you're not in the sight of the Lord? Yeah. We are called to do what is right and good all the time. When we are faced with making decisions, we need to choose what is right and what is good. Not what's sinful, but what is pleasing to God, what He would have us do. Even when we might be ridiculed for it, or it might be a hard thing to do, or somebody might make fun of us. As I told you, we bought a trailer, and the young fellow who sold us the trailer filled out the transfer papers, handed them to us, and he says, you can fill out whatever price you want on the trailer to pay the taxes. And I said, well, I would fill out the price we paid for the trailer. And he just looked at me and says, it's up to you. And it hurt when I got to the transfer place and I had to pay $960 in taxes. I thought, I could have got away with probably half of this. But, you know, and the lady at the transfer place, so she said, so you paid $8,000 for this trailer. What do you want to insure it for? Is it worth more? And I said, no, it's worth $8,000. That's what I paid for it. It's worth $8,000. I said, well, maybe it's worth $8,100 because I had to pay $1,000 worth of taxes. But, you know, you got to be right. You got to be honest. And when the other people came and bought our truck and our trailer, I put the price in there. This is what you paid for it. You want to try and do something else? I don't know. But we got to be, being faithful is doing what is right. There are some great promises here for those who are faithful to the Lord. He says we will enter the good land, the promised land. In other words, we will enter into the kingdom of God. And he will drive out our enemies, those things we struggle with. As we allow the faithfulness of God to be part of our character, to burn bright on the fire of the Holy Spirit, then we are assured we are going to enter the kingdom of God. We will be able to overcome our struggles because the Holy Spirit, God, will help us overcome those things. Showing our faithfulness to God is obeying his word. It is not just reading it or hearing it. We need to put it into practice. And as we read in Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham's faithfulness to God was demonstrated. He obeyed and went. He didn't know where he was going. God said, here, you need to go to this land. And he obeyed out of faithfulness to God. We have God's word, the Bible, which gives us the instructions on how we are to live, how we're to conduct our lives. Just as Abraham obeyed, we need to obey. That's our faithfulness to God. Does God see our faithfulness as he continually teaches us through his word, by his Holy Spirit? Do we just hear it, or are we faithful in obeying it? Part of obeying God's word is to love our neighbors as ourselves. We must demonstrate our faithfulness to God by being faithful to our neighbors. Jesus, in teaching about how to treat others in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40 states, the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Our faithfulness to our Heavenly Father is feeding the hungry, being kind to the stranger, looking after the sick, meeting the needs of those who are in need, visiting those who are in prison. Jesus says when we do these things, they're done to our neighbor. We're doing them for him. We're doing them to him. It's all about our faithfulness to God. When we're faithful to our neighbor, we're faithful to God. And part of that being faithful to our neighbor is sharing the gospel. Sharing the love of God with those around us, whether they live right next door or they live in another town, they're our neighbor. And that's part of being faithful to God, our faithfulness to God and faithfulness to our neighbor. Also, being faithful to our neighbor is keeping our word. You know the gentleman that bought my truck? He said, I'll take it. He said, I have to go to Kamloops and get the money tomorrow. I'll take it. And he shook my hand and he left. And I knew it was good. It was deal. It was done. We need to be faithful to our word when we make a deal, when we talk with somebody. We had a friend in Kimberley and he got so frustrated because people would say, oh, I'll come and visit you. So he thought, you said you were going to come and visit me. And he was a shut-in. So he thought, they're going to come this week. Because they told me at church they're coming to visit me. And he would be so frustrated. He said, people don't keep their word. People don't keep their word. Our faithfulness to God is our faithfulness to our neighbors. And it's keeping our word. As God is faithful and true to his word, amen, we saw that, we are to be faithful and true to our words. We need to think about the ways we show our faithfulness to God. Are there things that are getting in the way of our faithfulness? Are there things that hinder us in our faithfulness? Like, oh, I don't really want to pay all those taxes. Do material things come in our way, in the play? God needs to be first. Nothing should hinder our faithfulness to God. It is written in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was faithful to the cross. And he says, he is the author and perfecter of our faith. That word faith, you got it. It's the same word. It's the same Greek word. So he is the author and perfecter of our faithfulness. If we're struggling with faithfulness, we can go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm struggling. I just need you to pour in some faithfulness, or I just need some teaching from your word on faithfulness. I just need to know how to be more faithful and how to walk in it. Jesus is the author and the perfecter. And Jesus said when he left the earth that the Father would send us the Holy Spirit. And wouldn't you know it? The Holy Spirit lives inside us. And he gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. He is the author and perfecter of our faithfulness. We must allow the faithfulness from the Holy Spirit, faithfulness to God, our Heavenly Father, to burn bright for the kingdom of God. As we are faithful, others will see. I don't know if being faithful and saying, no, I'm going to pay the full amount of taxes, I don't know if that made any impression on any of those deals that I made this week. I don't know if it made an impression on anybody, but God can use it. When we're faithful at the grocery store, when we're faithful in our word, God uses that. I was so glad when the person that I was buying the truck tomorrow from, and he said, well, you know, you have to pay the full tax. I said, you got it. Faithfulness. Let our faithfulness burn bright on the fire. Do good and right in the sight of our Lord. Be faithful in the sight of our Lord. In other words, be filled with faithfulness all the time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Father, we wouldn't be able to manage without your Holy Spirit. Because it's your Holy Spirit that lives within us, that makes us a testimony to those around us. And Lord, we want to be that testimony. We want you, Lord, to live within us bright. That the Holy Spirit would burn bright, and people in our communities, people we come in touch with, people we talk with, would know that we live for you, that we're faithful, that the fire of the Holy Spirit burns bright. And that they might not even know it's the fire of the Holy Spirit, but they might ask us, why do you do what you do? Well, it's the right thing to do. And as one of God's children, I do what's right. I do it for God. May it be our character, Lord. As it's the character of God, and as he says he has to remain faithful because he would not disown himself, may we be the same, Lord. May we say we have to be faithful because we will not disown ourselves or disown our Heavenly Father. Father, may you be glorified. And may the kingdom grow. And we give you glory and praise and honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Folks, thanks for coming. Continue to be faithful.